Father, we just love you so much. We love you, and we just thank you for the amazing, wonderful blessings you've placed in our life. Mostly right now, I just want to thank you, Father, for this word. If you've got your Bible or you got it on your phone, just hold it and say, God, thank you for this word. Thank you that it transforms me. Thank you that it shows light where I might be kind of muffing up. And I thank you, Father, that my ears hear today your word. I planted it. I've declared that it's cultivated ground, and this word today will grow and will be changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Open up to Genesis 45. That's our story that I'm kind of building everything around. Genesis 45. And then if you've got an extra bookmarker, you can put it in. I'll tell you later. Okay, Genesis 45. I'm going to give you the quick version. Genesis 45, everybody say, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Okay, we're talking about Jacob, and Jacob's got 12 sons. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons, and he picks a favorite out of the 12 as Joseph. And we said that's like the worst boo-boo no-no that parents do. You can't have favorites, all right? And because of that, it caused a whole bunch of problems. And so Jacob's got his favorite son, Joseph, and he makes this real fancy coat, a coat of many colors, and he gives it. He doesn't make 12 of them. He makes one, and he gives it to Joseph, and Joseph is just tickle pink, struts around with it. He's not ashamed to wear it, and he makes sure he wears it in front of his 12 brothers. Oh, shame, shame, shame. Okay, because of that, his brothers are just irritated with him, okay? And this irritation grows to something even worse, and Joseph, just a big dingbat, I'm telling you. Like, did you not look at your brother's body language every time you went prancing around? Okay, I'll tell you a quick story. So last weekend I had all my kids home. Cassie flew in. We had a bridal shower for her. But by day three, my only son, three daughters, only son, comes up and he goes, "That's it, Mom. I'm moving out. I've had it." Those women, those girls. I'm like, "Jesse, don't move. You cut the lawn and shovel. Don't worry, Mom. I'll come back and do it. I'm moving." All right. And I wanted to go to my daughters. Did you not see the body language on Jesse? That you guys were just ridiculous. Okay, but he's still there, staying. He's cutting the lawn. Okay. All right. So anyway, I just call young and dumb Joseph. And he's strutting around with his coat. And then on top of that, God gives Joseph a gift. And each of you have different gifts. Thank God I don't have your gift. And thank God you don't have my gift. And never covet, because you're not allowed to covet somebody else's gifts. You just have your gifts. And God gave Joseph a special gift. He gave him the gift of having dreams. And anybody have dreams? Yeah, but I don't want dreams. I just want to sleep through the night. So I don't ever raise my hand for that one. But he gave him dreams, and then he gave him the ability to interpret the dreams. All right? So that was his special gift. And gifts from God are good if you know when to use them. Okay? But Joseph, you know, young and dumb, is blabbing to his brothers. "Well, I had a dream last night, and it's about you guys all bowing down to me." You know, and Joseph, read the body language. Your brothers are like, you know, the eyeballs, the head nodding and stuff like that. Then to make it matters worse, Joseph, you know, comes up again. He goes, "Hey, guys." And they see him like, "Oh, crud, he's coming again with that ridiculous coat." And he comes running up and he goes, "I had another dream. And, you know, the sun, the moon, and all the stars bow down to me." And they're like, "Urgh." So they cook up this plan because they've just had it. They cook up this plan, and they're like, "That's it. We're going to kill him. Throw him off the bridge, under the railroad track, the whole nine yards." Thank goodness he's got one brother with a tender heart, Reuben, and he says, "Listen, no murder. No murder. We don't do that. We do everything else, but we don't do that." Don't you love people when they give you their list of sins? Well, excuse me. They don't tell you their list of sins, but they always pick one. "We don't do that one." Like, it's still sin. Okay, so Joseph, he's just so stupid, and his brothers have had it. So they've decided, they see him coming, that's it, they're going to snatch him, they snatch him, they throw him in this pit, and just by coincidence, you ever have those God things, just by coincidence, well, no, it wasn't coincidence, but according to them, just by coincidence, some Ishmaelites come up the road, and they decide to sell Joseph. So they sell him, and he goes off to Egypt. Meanwhile, they strip him of his fancy coat. They go running to their father, and they go, Dad, Dad, look what we found. Do you think it's Joseph's coat? Hello, bunch of liars, okay? And Jacob's like, oh, Joseph, my boy, oh my gosh, wild animals, because they've dunked it in blood. Wild animals must have just torn him to shreds, and he boo-hoos, and he's very upset. Okay? Now, these guys are just tickled pink, because, well, not that their dad's boo-hooing. And he says, I'll mourn forever. He cries. He's really brokenhearted. But they slip out the back door. Wow, man, we didn't get caught for that one. But you all know the scriptures. Your sins will find you out. And there's nothing that you do in secret that God does not see. Yeah, I tell my kids that when they were little. You know, I told them, I said, God loves mamas more than you right now. Anything you think you're sneaking, I got the Holy Ghost. And I did. I used to walk in this one particular child's bedroom. Whoa! And I go tell him. I said, I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and the Lord told me, showed me. So, anyway, I don't know how to do that. Write that down if you're a parent. Okay, so they think they get away with it. They really think that they'll never, ever see Joseph, and they're just excited. Crazy brother of ours, that annoying, that just ridiculous guy is out of our hair. Okay, now, moving forward on the story, Joseph is sold to Egypt. Pharaoh's guard buys him, Potiphar, and as the story goes, Joseph finally, life's good, okay, then it gets worse, then it gets okay, then it gets worse, and then finally gets good because he's called forth to interpret the dream of Pharaoh. That gift from God. So Joseph interprets the dream, and then God also gives him amazing wisdom. Because what do you do with these dreams? You better have some wisdom on what you do with it. So God gives Joseph not only the interpretation, and Pharaoh's excited about it, then God gives him wisdom on what to do. Plan for the famine, okay? So here we are. Now, there we go. Now we are... Genesis chapter 45. And back in Canaan land, his brothers and his dad and all the lands are in the middle of this famine, starving. You know, they're running out of food and they just can go, well, this isn't good. And they hear Egypt is selling food. So the father sends the brothers to Egypt, and guess who they have to see? Well, they don't know who he is. They go ringing the doorbell to the guy that gives out the food, who happens to be Joseph, number two, okay? They ring the doorbell, and he says, come on in. And he takes one look at them, and he knows who they are. Now, they don't. They just see this guy dressed up like an Egyptian, speaking Egyptian. And as a matter of fact, when Joseph starts talking to the brothers, he's using an interpreter. Okay, so they don't know anything. And Joseph sees them, and right away his heart is gripped. And the story goes on. Okay, I'm going to speed up the Cashman version. And Joseph sees them, and he sobs. And he runs out of the room, and he starts sobbing. Then he comes back in the room later. And this is where we're going to talk about total forgiveness. Everybody say total forgiveness. All right, okay, here we go. Now, he starts to sob because he recognizes them. Now, those guys did him dirty. They were cruel, evil, changed the course of his life, separated him from his family. Nothing that Joseph wanted happened in his life because of what his brothers did. And for most of us, me included, I'd like shoot them, line them up. I don't care. revenge. Okay? Oh, Pastor D, I thought you're born again. Yeah, I am, but, you know, some days I just, you know, okay? And most of us would be thinking that, but not Joseph. Not Joseph. And Joseph operates in total forgiveness. Everybody say, God's way. Yep. Joseph operates God's way. And he totally forgives them because if he chooses not, and this happens to all of us, and we don't even see it sometimes, if you choose not to totally forgive somebody, it holds you in chains. It just is like this thing that follows you and it holds you. And you just think life is Jim and Dandy and all that good stuff, but it just shows its head and you'll find out that you're held in chains. So Joseph, listen, this man's been in chains. He's been in dungeons. He's been a slave. And now he's a free man. And yet he knows if he chooses not to totally forgive them, it will still hold him. So Joseph does total forgiveness. All right? He totally forgives them. Now, some of you go, listen, I have been hurt. I've had people lie about me. I've had my spouse just be a real schnook and say things to me, all right? You know, and just friends, and sometimes, you know, you think it's the big things. Sometimes it's the person closest to you that says and does things that hurt you. And if you let it, you get angry, you get this bitter thing. That's the thing that holds you, okay? And then God says, Dee, I want you to totally forgive them. And I'm going, but God, I can't. I can't do it. And this is your remedy. Turn to Romans. Keep your finger in Genesis, okay? Turn to Romans. No, 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. This is the remedy when you say, I can't. This is not me. This is God's word. When you say, I can't, God, you don't understand. Don't you remember? God doesn't forget anything. And you're telling him, don't you remember? Look at 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. You know what that says? God deposits his grace, his ability on you that you can now say, you can't say I can't. You can't say I can't. God puts deposits. Look on the inside of you. Oh my gosh, this is the grace of God on the inside of me. This is his ability in me. And you're right, I can't, but this great big God on the inside will now say I can. So everybody say, I can. Totally forgive. Release. Yay, amen. And you know what happens? How many of you go, oh, Pastor D, I love the anointing. I love the supernatural. Well, that's what happens when you stop saying I can't and you draw on, you let God's grace come into you and move through you. You are now walking in the supernatural. Well, I feel like I floated 5 inches off the ground, okay? When you do that, you walk in the supernatural. So everybody say, I'm walking in the supernatural. Okay. When you walk in the supernatural and you totally forgive, you let people off the hook, you are walking in the supernatural. Now, question, why should I forgive them? Why should I forgive people? You know, I just block it out of my mind, you know, until you see them someday at the store. Okay, why should you forgive them? Because God wants to use you. God has, oh, what's that one? God has good plans, and I know the plans and purposes I have for you. God has just great plans for your life. But if you're held in bondage because you've not released people, you're held in bondage, God's not able to use you. Now you might think, well, he's using me. Not the way he wants to. Not supernaturally wonderful, okay? All right? So God wants to use you just like Joseph. And if Joseph chose not to forgive his brothers that day they walked in, and listen, they didn't know who he was, but he nailed them. Oh my God, there they are, those little, okay? If Joseph chose, and forgiveness is a choice, salvation's a choice. I'd like to beat everybody into salvation, doesn't work, okay? It's a choice, and forgiveness is a choice. Walking in love is a choice, okay? And if Joseph chose not to forgive the plans that God had for all of Israel, for you and I, would not happen. And thank God he chose to totally forgive. And I'm telling you, God has plans for people all around you. And if you're so tied up in unforgiveness, and I know people, and I'm going, what are you, dumb? Let go. Let go of this unforgiveness, okay? Because your life will affect, all right? Your life needs to draw a net out there. But when you're in unforgiveness, it doesn't happen. So why should I forgive? Because God has plans for you. But, okay, the finger. As long as you feel the need to tell somebody about what they did to you, God can't use you. As long as you hold them, God's not going to be able to use you the way he wants to. Now, I'm not saying God's not using you, but God's so much bigger than you, so you need to let go, all right? Now, how many of like getting proof? Proof that a product is what it says it is? You know, proof? Everybody like proof? Proof of it? Well, I want to give you proof. 4 points to proof that you have totally forgiven. Okay, number one, we went through that last week, that if you have totally forgiven, proof number one is you don't tell anybody about what happened. Oh my God, are you kidding me? Okay, you can do it, all right? You can do it because of the grace of God. So number one, if you're taking notes, proof that you have totally forgiven. Listen, you're going to have to put that on the mirror. Because these faces of people that have done things in your life or spoken things will flash before you, and you need this list on your mirror. Proof, I have forgiven, okay? You tell nobody. And that's what Joseph did when those boys walked into the room. He threw everybody out, and it was just them. And listen, he could have told everybody, and they would have been in the dungeon and had their heads chopped off. He could have, and he chose not to. He chose to totally forgive them, right? Okay. Now, proof number two. You don't let them be afraid of you. Okay, here we are. Genesis 45. I'm reading out of the Message Bible. And Joseph couldn't hold himself any longer, keeping up a front before all his attendants. He cried out, "Leave! Clear out the room! Everybody leave!" So there was no one with Joseph when he identified himself to his brothers. He was sobbing so violently that the Egyptians couldn't help but hear him. The news soon was reported to Pharaoh, all through Pharaoh's palace. Joseph spoke to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father really still alive?" But his brothers couldn't say a word. Question, why couldn't they say a word? Okay? They couldn't say a word. They were speechless. They couldn't believe what they were hearing and seeing. And then Joseph said, "Come closer to me." All right, now listen. When you totally forgive somebody, you don't let them be afraid of you. It would have been so easy to whip off his wig or whatever he was wearing and start speaking Hebrew instead of Egyptian and just watch them squirm and feel horrible. Like, the reason why they couldn't talk, they were speechless, they were in fear. Fear for their life. Because then I know, you know, that I know, that you know, that I know. All right? And you know, Joseph didn't keep him in fear. Come closer. Come closer to me. What's he saying? Come closer. I want to love you. Whoa. Everybody say total forgiveness. Yep. Now just picture this. Okay. Now, the old Joseph, now I don't know about you, I'm laying in bed at night, the old Joseph. Man, one of these days, I'm going to get out of this place. Matter of fact, now that I'm number two in Egypt, I'm going to hop in my chariot with a whole army, and I'm going to go find them. And then I'm going to. Joseph, I am sure, at one point in time, was not going to let him off the hook, was going to keep him in fear. But the new Joseph, when he sees them, is like, guys, come close, love on you, okay? That's when you know you've changed on the inside and you totally forgive somebody. All right. And listen, you can only do it by the grace of God. And you know, I could just see it happening. They walk into the room. He sees them. He finally tells them, I'm Joseph, I'm Joseph. And they're like, woo! Okay? And their knees are knocking. Their speech, I would have been on the, oh man, my life's over before me. And no. Total forgiveness. Everybody say total forgiveness. You don't keep them in fear. You love on them. I've had that opportunity to run into people, and I'm telling you, I decided to totally forgive. And it's so much better to grab somebody in your arms and just take that fear off of them. Fear has torment, right? So you take that fear off of them, and the only thing that conquers fear is love, and you love on them, right? Number two, don't let them be afraid. That's proof, all right? Now, sometimes I do entertain the thought of just, God, just give me 5 seconds of letting them squirm and feel a little nervous when they see me, okay? All right, nobody does that, all right, now, I hate to say this, but I see this a lot. Husbands and wives play that game. None of you guys? Okay. Good. You got a good marriage. Okay. But yes, you do. Because whenever you point the finger and hold an account, why do we have account sheets? Why do you keep a record? I mean, it's just your bank account thingy-majiggers. Okay? So I can see what I paid off. Paid. Okay. So what happens is your spouse says something to you and you go, huh, I'm going to hang on to that one. 3 days later, you whip it out at them. You know, you said that, you hurt my feelings. Okay. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13, 5? 1 Corinthians 13, 5. Amplified. No, King James. Love keeps no record. Love, better yet, love thinks no evil. Love thinks no evil. One translation says, love keeps no scorecard. Woo! Scorecards! All right? Now, close your eyes. I don't want to look at you. Close your eyes. Can you remember when your spouse did this, and you've been married how many years? And, oh, you got 5 pages. Blah, blah, blah. All right. Love keeps no... Open your eyes. Don't fall asleep. Open your eyes. Okay. I know. Some of you fall asleep. I'm like, freeze them out. Carol, put the air conditioning on. That's really good thought. Love keeps no scorecard of wrong. It doesn't... Love doesn't keep an account sheet. Love doesn't keep an account sheet, all right? If you keep an account sheet or a scorecard, it's because you want to impart fear later on, all right? Burn it, tear it up, all right? Get rid of that. Listen, what did God do for you? God has forgiven you all. God doesn't have a score sheet on you. Most of us keep our own score sheet, which is so dumb, all right? But God, tear it up. God does not keep a score sheet, an account sheet of things you've done. So how about you doing that, all right? Now, proof that you've totally forgiven. Number one, you don't tell anybody. Two, you don't let them be afraid of you. And you ready for this one? You don't let them feel guilty. Oh, dang it, God, I just thought I'd have one last shot at this. He goes, no, you don't let him feel guilty. Now, I'm going to read this again. Joseph, starts speaking Hebrew. And Joseph, this is out of the message. Joseph spoke to his brothers. I am Joseph. Is my father still really alive? His brothers couldn't say a word. They were speechless. They couldn't believe what they were hearing and seeing. And Joseph goes, come closer. So they came closer. I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold to Egypt. Oh, I'd be squirming. Yeah, there he's knocking. But don't feel badly. Don't blame yourselves for selling me. God was behind it. You see, it wasn't you who sent me here, but God. All right. He is getting them off the hook. This is that catch and release. Okay, listen. He's making sure they don't feel bad, guilty. Now, most of us would like to tell them why they should feel guilty about what they did. Joseph, he just covers it. Can you imagine? That's total forgiveness. Listen. You got to make it easy so that they can forgive themselves. Most people, when you meet them down the aisle, and they know that you know that we know that I know that you did, that they did something, when you see them and you see that nervousness or that look, okay, they know, and you need to make them not feel guilty, because God's forgiven you of everything, and you should forgive them, all right? Forgive them, because God wants to use you, and that's the only way. You got to get all that junk out of there. Now, some of you are thinking, well, my God, if I just point out what they did so that they would know what they did, then I can totally forgive them. I mean, I don't want them, you walk up, hey, would you forgive me? And you go, I don't know what about. Well, let me tell you, okay? We want to tell them. I don't want them, but listen, Jesus hung on the cross at Calvary. And what did he say? Cried out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they've done. Now, well, we would like to go, oh, but Lord, let me tell them. Let me tell them all the things. No, God, listen, Jesus did that for you. That record in the Bible is just not because you can have some plaque on your wall. It's so you do the same thing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. So when you run into somebody or that name pops up at you, doesn't even have to be face to face, and you just go, I'm going to forgive them totally. And when I do see them, I'm going to make sure they're not feeling guilty. And you know, now, I'm not a lion. That's when you grab them and you go, oh, I don't remember any of that. I don't even know what you're talking about. Now, you could say I'm lying, because I used to have an account sheet. But when I go, I work at not having an account sheet. I cannot lie. I will look at you and say, I don't remember. And listen, I have had many opportunities, people coming up here. Can I tell you something? It's really funny, especially when someone gets a really bad medical report. They love to come to the pastor first. Because you know who you talk about at lunchtime. Okay? Not you. Okay, so they always come up. I get phone calls. They come in my office. Oh, Pastor D, I have to ask you to forgive me. And it's been 20 years, 10 years, 15 years. They come up to me. They come up to Jack all the time. They used to do that. And they go, oh, could you please forgive me? I'd said this. And you know what? I say, now, I don't even remember. And they're like, some of them are disappointed. What do you mean you don't remember? I want to tell you. And I'm like, no, dummy, I don't remember. You should be going, yay. And I just say, oh, Pastor, I just really meant to call you up and say, hey, how you doing? Okay? All right. It is so cool to do that. It is so cool to let people off the hook. It just delights on the inside of me, and you should see what happens with a father. So, let them off the hook. Don't make them feel guilty, all right? Now, listen, this is it. I used to do this with my kids, and as I grow older, there's things I've taught and preached and done in my life. I find out, well, that wasn't quite all Bible. That was half Cashman and half Bible. Well, you should have chucked out the Cashman part and just made it all Bible. But what would happen if my kids were fussing with one another, and they hurt one another or said a bad word or broke something, I'd grab them both and I said, you come over here. Now, you tell him you're sorry. Now, you tell her you're sorry. Now, pray. I used to make them do that. I still think a little bit is good on that, personally, training kids up. But listen, it would be delightful if everybody that hurts you, your feelings, hurts your reputation, or something like that, would come up and say they're sorry. That's easy when they say they're sorry. It's easy when they come up, oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry I did this and this. And I'm like, okay. But listen, it's a bigger victory when they don't do that. And you just simply go, I totally forgive. I want the big victories in my life. Anybody want big victories in their life? So don't wait for I'm sorry. Okay, this is a good one. You know, we all know that scripture where it says, vengeance is mine. But we're going after them. And you know why? I sat down and I thought, why? Why do I go after them when I know that scripture, vengeance is mine? That's God saying, I'll take care of them. It's because I think he's too slow. I thought he forgot the piece of paper, the memo. God, you said you did vengeance for me. Chuck that thing up. Get rid of it. Vengeance is God's. And I'd rather go for the big victory. All right? Last one. Proof that you've totally forgiven. Save face. Make it easy for them to save face. That's what Joseph did. Listen. And when Joseph said, it's me, Joseph, come closer, let me love you. And they're like terror, and he wants them to save face. And he just totally forgives them. Just saves face. And then he does the best cop-out. I used to tell my kids, if they ever got in a bad situation and they wanted someone to blame or a higher authority, I'd say, just tell them your mama said you can't do it. And this is what Joseph does. He goes, well, God set this thing all up. Guys, don't worry about it. God did this for me to save all of Israel. He caused them to save face. He did the big authority, my daddy said, all right? So isn't that wonderful? So they're walking out going, wow, that's part of God's plan. And I don't think that. I think they were, you know, humbled, okay? But you want them to walk out thinking that, sort of thing. Anyway. So, instead of rubbing their nose in it, you want them to save face. All right, you want them to save face, and you want to act like, it's nothing. Everybody do that. It's nothing. All right? I bet they're thinking, is this the guy we tried to kill, but they sold him? Is this really the guy? Save face. All right, now. Can you imagine saying, I thought of that a lot. Can you imagine saying to these guys that you knew what they did, and you say, listen, guys, God was at the bottom of all of this. God had plans, and look at the plans. Go get my dad, go get all the relatives, bring them back, and you guys are going to live great, okay? God was at the bottom of this. You know what that speaks to me? Gracious. The character of God. Gracious. That's the way God is, isn't it? Totally forgives you. You got to totally forgive. Gracious. You know, that's what the gospel is. Totally forgiven you. That's what the whole gospel message is, right? Totally forgiving, all right? Everybody say, totally forgiven. If you were to take out a piece of paper and I'd ask you this question, all right, get ready. First off, did you get your 4 points? What was point number one, the proof? Don't tell anybody. What's number two? Yep, don't let them be afraid. Number three? Feel guilty. And the last one? Save face. Okay, good. Put it on your mirror. Put it in your Bible. Okay, now, if I were to, I want to do this anyway. Larry, where is you? Come on up and just twinkle over here and listen. If you were to die today, I hate to start this way, but I'm going to get a point. And I don't ever do this, but God's saying, if you were to die today and stand before the Lord, and he would say, hey, how come you're here? Why should I let you in here? All right? What would you write on your piece of paper? Everybody write down something. Okay? Don't call out. Make mouths. Don't cheat. Don't tell him the answer. You'd stand before the Lord and he'd say, hey, why should I let you up here? Why should I let you in heaven? What would you write down? Okay. There's only one right answer. You don't want the wrong answer because you'd be out of here. There's only one right answer. It's Jesus died. Jesus died for me. That's the right answer. Jesus died for me, and he totally forgave me. And I'm trusting in Jesus. I'm trusting in him. I'm trusting in his blood that was shed, that washed away my sins. I'm trusting in this whole plan of redemption. I'm trusting that. And then he says, come on in. Right? That's how simple the gospel is. You don't have to jump over hurdles or jump over hoops. Now, if you got the wrong answer and you wrote down, Pastor D, I was raised in church. Wrong. Pastor D, I was raised in a Christian home. Wrong answer. Pastor D, I've done so many good things. Do you ever see all the things I do, Lord? Wrong answer. There's only one right answer. Jesus died for me. Because he died for you, he forgave you all. Everybody go, all. All. So, this is my declaration, my invitation. There's somebody here, and you've never let, received, walked into total forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You probably live in hell on earth. It's hell on earth living without knowing that I'm totally forgiven. It just gets really heavy in my life. It used to. It gets heavy in your life carrying all the crud in life. And I want to tell you, you can be totally forgiven. So, would you guys, I'm going to just toss out an invitation. Just bow your heads, okay? Would you pray this if you've never let Jesus totally forgive you, you've never accepted it, and you're just so down and beat down, and you just need this. I want to tell you, you need this. But would you pray, Father, I need you. I need you to wash away my sins. I'm giving you my life the best I know how today to trust in you, to live for you. I'm letting go of all the weight and hurt in my life. And I accept you, Lord Jesus, to totally forgive me.